Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Small Business Town Hall with Insurance Commissioner Lara and Senator Ben Allen. At this time, we have all participants in a listen-only mode. If you do need assistance during the call, you may press star and then zero. As a reminder, the conference is being recorded. I'll now turn the meeting over to Senator Ben Allen. Please go ahead.
Well, welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for joining our Small Business Insurance Town Hall today. And I want to particularly thank my good friend and a good public servant, the Insurance Commissioner, Ricardo Lara, and also Xiomara Peña, who's with the Small Business Majority. And they're with us today. And I just want to thank you for agreeing to speak to a number of my constituents who are on the call today. My name is Ben Allen. I'm the state senator who represents the 26th Senate District. This is a district that covers the coast from Palos Verdes and Catalina Island all the way up to the Palisades, all the coastal communities, and then the whole west side through to Hollywood. Now, you know, we're in a very strange time now. I mean, it is incredibly uncertain times, and we've got a global pandemic that is stretching so much of our civic life. Of course, recently, we're also in the middle of a really intense discussion about civil rights. And there's a presidential election and all sorts of chaos and turmoil on a lot of different levels. And I know directly from close friends of mine and all the many, many calls and meetings that I've had over the past few months, I know the extent to which the businesses in my districts are seeing losses primarily from COVID. The COVID impact has been tremendous. But then, not an insignificant portion of constituent businesses were targeted and received some pretty severe damage during the civil unrest that took place in the Fairfax and Melrose neighborhoods and in Santa Monica and on the west side. In the aftermath of some of the protests relating to the George Floyd killing. So anyway, we should all honestly expect that we'll be, dealing with these kinds of challenges for quite some time. The governor is literally on the television right now talking about what's going to be happening with our schools and all of the measures that they're going to be taking. And I know it's going to be very difficult for our schools to comply with all the various orders. I do think that this is coming largely as a result of a sense that the governor is kind of feeling as though maybe he moved too aggressively in May, and this has led to a recent uptick in coronavirus cases around the state. And now the governor's office and the State Department of Public Health are focused on recalibrating the path forward. So in Sacramento, of course, the legislature has had to adapt to this new world. We've been condensing our schedule. We've been focusing on only the most salient issues. We reconvened in May, and the president of the Senate asked us to focus on three areas of immediate concern: housing and homelessness, wildfires, and of course, COVID-19. And most of us, at least, dramatically cut down our bill packages to accommodate this request. Many legislators went from 20 bills down to 5. Of course, on the assembly side, we've now seen an outbreak of COVID. A couple members of the assembly have tested positive. One of my colleagues over there literally had to go to the hospital. Thank God he's now out of the hospital and is recovering. But that's caused incredible delays to the legislative process too. So we're all living in a great degree of uncertainty right now. But we wanted to take this moment to bring together a couple of speakers who can give folks in our business community some important updates on insurance, small business resources, and just talk about the sort of work that's underway at the state level and also the resources that are available at the state level through the Department of Insurance to assist businesses that are dealing with, in some cases, the double whammy of the COVID impact and also some of the damage that was caused during the looting that happened about a month ago. And so we thought this would be a good opportunity for us to have an open conversation, also answer a bunch of questions, and then leave the door open for our offices, both my Senate office and also the Insurance Commissioner's office, with the ability to help and try to do best we can to assist businesses that are struggling to stay afloat during this difficult time. because we do know that this is going to be over at some point. And, you know, what we really need to do is make sure the businesses are able to stay afloat so that they're able to thrive and grow once this whole situation is over. So our first speaker is Commissioner Ricardo Lara. Commissioner Lara is California's 8th elected insurance commissioner. He's been busy handling new problems, all the new problems that we've been facing in relation to COVID-19. We've historically had problems every year following natural disasters such as wildfire and earthquakes that the insurance department has to help out with. But, of course, we've never seen anything quite on this scale, with thousands of businesses closed, drastically reducing payroll. And so Commissioner Lara has taken many actions to protect consumers. He's been working on a number of issues relating to the response, and he's going to be providing us with an update today on all the work that he's been doing, and then take some questions from you. The second speaker is Xiomara Peña, who is the California Program Director for the Small Business Majority. And Ms. Peña focuses on strengthening relationships with policymakers, small business owners, and organizations. Her portfolio includes overseeing policy recommendations and advocacy work in California, as well as managing statewide educational initiatives around workforce, entrepreneurship, retirement, healthcare. She also oversees the Small Business Majority's National Latino Small Business Outreach Work, focused on connecting monolingual and bilingual business owners to their small business ecosystem. So she's here both as a voice for, as an advocate for, but also an interlocutor with our small business community, and is going to be able to answer some questions as well. So with that, let's get this program started with Commissioner Lara.
Thank you, Senator Allen. It's great to hear your voice. Hopefully I get to see you in the near future and give you a big hug and see your beautiful son and wife.
Ojalá que sí. Ojalá que sí.
Sí, ya. Que, you know, it's so crazy. But thank you again, Senator Allen. I appreciate your staff working with my staff. And, of course, Xiomara, we are on a statewide roadshow, and she has some great, great insight for our businesses. I'm happy to join you today as we, you know, really talk about resources for businesses and give you and your constituents an update on the work we have been doing on their behalf. You know, along with COVID-19 and stay-at-home orders, we all have been really witnessing our state and nation reckon with, as you were mentioning, Senator Allen, with another massive challenge in recent weeks, the reoccurring injustice of police brutality that has caused much pain in the African-American community, quite frankly, for generations. And we're all heartbroken, with what's been going on. And one way that the Department of Insurance is supporting our fellow Californians during these extraordinary times is by ensuring accurate and timely information and services when it comes to the insurance needs of our communities. And as we know, as Senator Allen was mentioning, these different climactic events and social issues have posed several challenges to our business community. And so our immediate response and focus is making sure that the insurance industry is prepared to handle the amount of claims to help our businesses recover as quickly as possible. We have been working with insurance adjusters to make sure they would be able to be on the ground to help looted businesses immediately be able to access their benefits through their insurance policy. Our community outreach team and consumer services team have already been reaching out to the affected communities, lending our support, and have prepared a helpful fact sheet about insurance resources following the civil unrest that it's on our website, and we'll make sure we get that to your office, Senator Allen, to let businesses know what they should be looking out for and what insurance coverage is available to them. As we continue through this unprecedented COVID-19 emergency, we have a lot of work to do to assist businesses and their workers. I want to take a moment to talk about premium relief, and you've seen that I have taken several number of steps to help our businesses, including ordering insurance companies to return a portion of premiums to our businesses and drivers affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. The directive applies to several lines of insurance, although you've been hearing in the media, the majority of the media press you've been hearing is about the private passenger automobile, which is our own individual private auto insurance refund but it also includes commercial automobile. It includes workers' compensation. It includes commercial multi-peril, commercial liability, and medical malpractice for those healthcare professionals that have their own practice and are seeing a decline of patients because of the stay-at-home orders. I'm proud to say that to date, California automobile insurance companies have returned close to $1.2 billion in savings to drivers. And I want to break down that $1.2 billion for you. And it's more than $1 billion in premium relief for more than 18 million policyholders. While Californians, you know, struggled during the start of the COVID pandemic, additionally, the additional savings are from an additional $180 million in future rate increases that insurance companies reduced in response to my orders that I have issued since the beginning of this crisis. I'm proud to say that my action goes farther than any other state by including the businesses where the risk of loss has fallen as a result of the pandemic. And my department is currently reviewing the reports we received from insurance companies about how much premium they're actually returning to commercial policies and policyholders to verify that these amounts are accurate. As a business owner, you should not have to do anything. Many of you should have received or started to receive your credits and refunds already. You don't have to do anything to receive the funds, as I said. Insurance companies must provide this relief as soon as possible. A few weeks ago, I extended my order for premium relief to include the month of June and beyond, as long as the risk of accident and loss remains due to the pandemic. So what we're seeing is people are paying premiums that no longer reflect the risk because of the stay-at-home orders and because of the pandemic. That includes our businesses. Many of our businesses no longer have the amount of employees that they had before the pandemic, or many of them are forced to close. So that means that workers' compensation, their multi-peril policies, really no longer reflect that risk that they are paying for. And we're asking and requiring insurance companies to return a portion of those premiums. In addition to the premium and the money back to businesses, there are also a few other issues we are monitoring, including business interruption insurance. And I'm sure Senator Allen has been receiving many calls from their businesses in the district. My department has received a number of complaints regarding complaints for business interruption insurance related to COVID-19 closures. Many businesses have looked at their insurance policies for possible coverage. As you know, each policy is a legal contract between the business owner and the insurance company. And since early March, we have seen dozens of lawsuits around the country, including in California, which concern the interpretation of these policies, whether these policies cover losses due to the COVID-19 pandemic. I can tell you that we are monitoring these cases as they move through the courts, but we also have taken several steps to address this business interruption issue. We have been learning that some insurance companies are denying business interruption claims without even a thorough investigation, or even discouraging business owners from even filing a claim, and that is simply unacceptable. In response to numerous complaints, I am requiring insurance companies to comply with their contracts and California law, quite frankly, by fairly investigating every single business interruption claim caused by COVID-19, just as, quite frankly, they would do any disaster, whether it was an earthquake, a fire, or a flood. And my department will continue to be making sure that they do so and everyone gets a fair claim. I want to urge businesses, I want to urge our businesses to be on the lookout for fraud and insurance scams. Unfortunately, during these times is when you see businesses be targeted for fraud. If you see any red flags or suspicious activity, please report that to the Department of Insurance. Many folks don't know that we have 300 sworn investigators and enforcement personnel with 9 regional offices, including an office in Valencia and our office in Commerce to service LA County. And I'll also tell businesses, you know, just to be on alert for those offering bogus worker compensation policies, which we see a lot. Verify the legitimacy of the selling agent and the policy being offered. You can verify the agent's license on our website. Or you can also contact our insurance company to directly verify that policy. I would just encourage you all to please report any issues to our department at 1-800-927-4357. You know, the majority of our staff is teleworking in support of the governor's stay-at-home directive, and we continue to provide essential services for our consumers, and we are available via phone, like, as I said, at 1-800-927-4357, or through our website. You can shoot us an email at insurance.ca.gov, which is our website, to assist businesses and consumers with your claims. We're more than happy to do that, and I understand insurance can be complicated. It's even complicated for your insurance commissioner. You know, we are here to help guide people through the process. We have insurance experts ready to help and answer questions in multiple languages. So whatever language you feel comfortable, we will more than happy to accommodate. And I look forward to answering your questions. Again, thank you for inviting me, Senator Ellis.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Commissioner. Appreciate all the work you've been doing. I know that so you just mentioned a whole bunch of resources. We're going to be posting this teletown hall on our Senate website and also on the California Department of Insurance website for folks to revisit this information later. But if there are links and the rest that maybe you can send over, we'll get them up on our website as well. So thank you. Thank you so much, Commissioner. All right, we're next going to welcome Xiomara Peña, who is the California Program Director for the Small Business Majority.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you, Senator, for hosting this wonderful teletown hall to support small businesses and the community and connect them to the resources that they need in such a critical moment. Also, thank you to Insurance Commissioner for making the connection. It's been remarkable seeing that your team is continuously dedicated to supporting California's small businesses and that your office is doing everything it can to support our community of micro businesses. As mentioned, I'm the California Program Director and the National Latino Entrepreneurship Director for Small Business Majority, a national small business advocacy organization. We primarily work on research, advocacy, and education on a whole host of different issues to really support the connection between small businesses and policymakers and ensuring that pragmatic policy solutions are passed and put forward to support the small business ecosystem and ensure an equitable economy that is inclusive of its diverse communities. With that being said, as you can imagine, our organization has been doing quite a bit of pivoting work ourselves in rapidly responding to the needs of small business owners, which primarily have been around funding, but we're starting to see rise on legal issues, accessing business development technical assistance, and a whole host of other priorities. Since March, our organization has held a series of webinars in partnership with small business development centers, in partnership with various different chambers of commerce, economic development agencies, and more. And we are here really to be a resource for you business owners that are looking to navigate the space of resources that exist. I'm going to be covering quite a bit in the next 9 minutes or so. And as Senator Allen mentioned, we will be providing the links to all of these resources. So first and foremost, given that Senate District 26 did see quite a bit of damage due to the civil unrest protests, just want to mention that the SBA has issued a disaster declaration and is making its economic injury disaster loan program available to small businesses who experience property damage or economic injury as a result of civil unrest. That declaration does cover businesses and nonprofits located in the LA County region, and the application for property damage is due by August 17th. And the applications will be due by August 17th. If you guys have missed the window, there may be an opportunity to apply again, but we really recommend that you apply for that disaster relief as soon as possible. Additionally, the SBA did announce earlier this month that their economic injury disaster loan program, which many small business owners have applied for due to loss of revenues because of the, as a result of the coronavirus, they have they had added a loan advance feature, which essentially acted as a grant. It was $1,000 per employee, up to 10 employees, up to $10,000 max. That loan advance has been exhausted or depleted. It's no longer available. However, the Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program still has funds available. These are loans of up to $2 million repayable at 3.75% interest over 30 years. The direct lender is the SBA, and so you would apply for that loan directly through the SBA, and the usage of that loan could be a wide array of different reasons. Additionally, the SBA continues to be a resource to business owners. They are still processing. There are still funds available in the Paycheck Protection Program, which through the Paycheck Protection Flexibility Act offered different extensions for applying for forgiveness and quite a bit of flexibility. The deadline has now been pushed back to August 8th. If you are looking for a lender, the SBA for this particular program is not the SBA. The SBA is not a direct lender. You would apply through an SBA-approved lender, which can be a traditional bank. Many of them are. A local community development financial institution, a CDFI. And here in the LA County region, we have LISC LA Opportunity Fund. We are working to connect folks to PACE, which is another CDFI. All of these community development financial institutions are able to process PPP loans, as well as Lendistry and a couple of other resources. And these resources are listed on Small Business Majority's www.venturize.org platform, which is our online hub where we are mapping out all of the resources that business owners can connect to. At the state level, the California's governor allocated initially $50 million to the iBank program. Right now, the fund has over $120 million in the program for disaster relief funds. So if you were a business owner that was locked out of the federal relief programs because of your ITIN status or another reason, you may be eligible to apply for a loan through a participating lender that is participating through this state benefit program. Additionally, I would like to mention that with the recent closures announced, I know that many business owners are asking about what the guidance is for their specific county and whether their county is following the state's guidance. So important to note that the LA Times does have a really great tool mapping out how exactly your county is impacted. It covers information on the business side as well as general information about other important key aspects of the county that you may want to take note of. Again, we recommend always looking at the COVID-19.ca.gov. The resiliency roadmap is a wonderful tool so that you can see what are the latest issues and guidance and orders. As you all know, there were orders announced earlier this week that did close a significant amount of industries, and we are still not sure what additional closures we will see, but I think that as small business owners, preparing yourself on the finance side and business development aspects of your business will be incredibly important. So I also want to acknowledge that the task force on business and jobs recovery that the governor has appointed to find solutions and recommendations to support small business during this time has launched a campaign. They launched it last week called the hashtag #ShopSafeShopLocal campaign. As you know, the governor has declared the month of July as Californians for All Small Business Month, and thus this portal, this website, business.ca.gov, has a number of different resources, 31 different in 31 different languages. It can connect you to purchasing PPE through the safelymakingca.org marketplace that is a partnership with the California Manufacturers Trade Association. And it has great digital tools. So for you as a business, as you're thinking about positioning yourself to survive in this crisis, there is a wealth of resources there. And with that, I think I've reached the end of my remarks, so I'll turn it back over.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Yamada. I appreciate that and appreciate all the work you've been doing. And I know you're going to be answering a bunch of questions from my constituents. So let's get started. And I want to once again, we're posting this video on our website, all of our links as well. All the information that Yamada mentioned will be posted as well. So many of you submitted questions. We've tried to condense them as best we can. We're going to try our best to get to as many as we possibly can. I did mention that we're not only posting the call online, but we're also going to send a summary of notes from this town hall and make that available to everyone who RSVP'd. So that's another way that you can make sure you get all the information. So let's start with Ricardo Lara. Commissioner Lara, can you provide any insight regarding insurance carriers denying coverage for business interruption losses sustained when access to the insured property specifically prohibited by order of civil authority? I think you spoke a little bit about this during your opening, but I'd love you to talk a little bit more about business interruption losses.
Yeah, no, absolutely. This is an important issue. You know, the first thing people need to know is that not all policies are the same, and we would need to look at the specific policy to better understand what coverages and exclusions a policyholder may have. If a business has business interruption coverage, but their insurance company is telling them that these losses or the losses experienced are not covered due to the exclusions in their policy, we recommend that you file a formal claim with their insurance company to start creating that important paper trail. As I mentioned earlier, insurance companies are legally required to fairly investigate a claim and formally respond back with their coverage decision and the reason for any denials that they may have or they may make. While it is more complicated than this, many policies have exclusions for the loss due to contamination by virus and similar perils. This, by the way, has been going on since H1N1, the bird flu, but there's been cases where we've actually been able to get some businesses, some claim payment due to something else within their policy that they may have missed. Or, you know, the case would be that they probably did have this business interruption coverage without the virus exclusion. So we would need to really look and really delve into your individual policy. And many policies also require that a loss be caused by direct physical damage or loss to the insured property, I should say, that would usually result from the cause covered by the property. These conditions and exclusions do create hurdles in obtaining coverage. However, we would need to see, again, the entire policy as well as circumstances applicable to the loss event to know what conditions or exclusions may or may not exist for that particular business. So if a business has not filed a claim, it should do so immediately. If the business has filed a claim and the claim has been denied, we recommend that you file with us a request for assistance, and you could do that easily with our department by calling us at 1-800-927-4357, or you could go through our website and do it in a written form at insurance.ca.gov. While it's true that many commercial policies have provisions that may exclude coverage for business interruption under these circumstances, our department will review the claim to ensure that the insurer is properly, that your insurance company is properly investigating your claim and following all the laws and the provisions within your individual contract. We have had some success, as I said, in getting denied businesses interruption claims and even cancellations of claims paid. So it's worth you contacting us, and let us take a look at your individual policy.
Thank you, Ricardo. Can you give us that phone number one more time?
Absolutely. It's 1-800-927-4357.
Okay. And you got people, it's easier to get through than getting through the EDD, I hope.
Yeah, no, we have, live folks. People are working, and I think the average wait time is 2 minutes.
Good. Oh, I love it. Okay, good. Thank you. Okay, So, Xiomara, this question, I think, it best goes to you. So what sort of resources are out there to support small mom-and-pop landlords with mortgage assistance and or rental assistance, so that's, you know, being paid directly to them and not to the tenants? You know, the question here says, assistance to small mom-and-pop landlords will help to prevent another housing crisis and prevent more homelessness due to landlords losing their buildings because tenants are not paying the rent that we need to pay the mortgage.
Yes. So back when all of this unfolded, as many of you know, the governor did remove certain state law restrictions on the ability of local governments to impose limitations on commercial evictions, and that order was extended. It's set to expire, actually, the 28th of this month, and so we expect that there might be another extension there. We also recognize that commercial relief assistance is something that is absolutely necessary. There was a Senate bill which did not pass the Senate Appropriations Committee despite recent changes by the authors, Senator Wiener and Senator Gonzalez, which would have, supported some of the emergency, some of the opportunity for folks to be supported in this process. The City of Los Angeles does have another rental assistance relief program right now that is open for tenants to be able to, for the landlord to be able to get paid directly through the city. Tenants have to apply for it, and that application is set to close. But it was, from what I've heard, it has been something that folks have applied for en masse. We recognize that this is an area of significant concern, and I don't have additional resources to share at this time, but in terms of legal services that may be required or rendered, there are some great nonprofits, including Aesthetic, which is supporting the City of Los Angeles and surrounding unincorporated parts of the city with legal services, shall you need resources around that.
Can you say the last thing you said? You were just fading out a little bit.
Shall you need, yes, that's the LA represents the partnership between Aesthetic and the City of Los Angeles, which is also supporting unincorporated parts of the city or of the county. And you can contact them for more information if you're looking for legal resources.
Okay. All right, great. Okay. Okay, so this is for Commissioner Latta. With the current unrest throughout neighboring communities, businesses want to know if damage to their business property and inventory by riots and looting is covered by insurance.
I was on mute. Yes, the standard commercial policies typically include coverage for damage to the insured premise and other business property resulting from looting, vandalism, and riots, whether it's a specific loss and if it's going to be covered really depends on the actual language in the policy and any coverage exclusions that may apply. But it's important to check your specific insurance policy for the following coverages: vandalism and malicious mischief. They both involve willful destruction of property, and they're very close related. Riot and civil commotion. These both involve a revolt by a group of people in a public space, or a civil commotion is similar to a riot but involves a greater number of people. Insurance policies often list these together. Also, business income insurance. This covers your loss of income when you have suspended operations and typically is triggered by a direct physical loss from a covered peril in your policy, such as a fire, I would say. Civil authority coverage also, that is business income, will typically include civil authority coverage, which protects your loss of income if a civil authority prohibits access to your business, such as a local government order, like we've seen up and down the state. Businesses that have this coverage are forced to limit their hours or suspend operations during rioting, vandalism, or civil commotion. May be covered after an initial waiting period. So it's important to look. And also glass coverage. Glass coverage Many commercial policies cover glass breakage, but we have seen some companies requiring separate coverage to be added to the policy for an additional premium. So we would need to look at what your specific policy is. I also want to quickly mention two other coverages, auto coverage, and that is damage to a personal vehicle because of a riot or civil commotion. That is covered under the comprehensive portion of your policy. This is, you know, it is optional, separate from liability coverage that is required under California law, I should note. Also, homeowners and renters coverage, a standard homeowners and renters policy will cover all perils. I mentioned riots, civil commotion, vandalism, malicious mischief. If you have the California Fair Plan policy, the insurer of last resort in California, as many of you know, these coverages are optional, so you need to verify that you've purchased them. Again, if you're wondering whether to file a claim, I urge you to contact your agent or company who sold you the policy. You should also face no consequences for inquiring about a claim. That's also important to note, such as losing a claims discount. You need to make that best decision for you. Again, if you're not satisfied with the answer you're getting from your agent or your insurance company, give us a call, 1-800-927-4357. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Thanks for that answer. I know it's been something on a lot of people's minds in my district.
Absolutely.
All right. Okay. So next question looks like it's for me. Is there any way that the senator's office can ask the county to allow for reasonable exceptions for those businesses that are following best practices? For example, breweries and brew pubs have been lumped into a broad category of closures despite essentially needing to have a sterile environment to produce beer. In many cases, the brewery properties have plenty of open space and air circulation that would comply with health and safety protocols. Now the health order is even prohibiting them from selling alcohol without food. Okay, well, so this is a tricky one because it throws us into the current conversation, the current discussion about where our numbers are. We've obviously been watching our coronavirus detection and hospitalization numbers very closely. And when those numbers are rapidly climbing, as we see right now, I just think it's very unlikely that unless the metrics dramatically improve, that the governor and LA County are going to be loosening any restrictions. In fact, I was given a heads up about this question a little earlier, and I sent it to a contact very high up in the county, and I think they are feeling as though they opened up too quickly last go round, and that now they're really suffering the consequences in terms of an uptick. Now, you know, I understand. So let's start by saying what has happened. Well, Governor Newsom's most recent order called for breweries and bars to close unless they could serve beverages accompanied by food outdoors. LA County doesn't have a choice to be more relaxed in its shutdown orders than as articulated by Governor Newsom. So whether or not a certain brewery or pub is following certain best practices, its hands are essentially tied for, with regards to allowing those breweries to operate in a manner that goes beyond what the governor has laid out. Now, the governor said explicitly that as numbers start falling again, the governor is going to relax his orders and we'll regain, we'll be in a place where we'll start to be able to reopen. I will say that if breweries and brew pubs are being treated in some sort of irrational or unreasonable way, I'm very much happy to raise this issue with my counterparts at the county. I've worked with the county before when I felt that certain businesses were being lumped together unnecessarily, and I'm happy to do so again. I'm also happy to work closely with the organization that represents the brew pubs and the small craft brewers who've been looking out for the industry as the public health orders have been coming down. I think in the end of the day, there's going to be a lot of reluctance to do anything that will involve any sort of congregation indoors, even in larger indoor spaces, even in spaces that have a decent amount of circulation. There just seems to, at least from the epidemiological science, that keeps getting thrown around. The indoor environment is something that people, the epidemiologists and the virologists and the doctors are nervous about. And I think then once you mix in alcohol and the impaired judgment that that brings, there's a real fear that that certainly bars, at the very least, have played and will continue to play a dangerous role in the spread of the virus if we don't get a handle on the bars. Now, I think with the case of breweries, there are ways that, you know, outdoor breweries, outdoor drinking areas that really do practice social distancing, that serve their own food, can find a way to get into the category of outdoor dining that some restaurants have fallen into. And so I think that's what you got to be looking at right now. I'm certainly happy to talk to the individual brewery that might have precipitated this particular question, and just see if there's anything that can be done to make the case that whatever they're doing there is safe and is not going to significantly contribute to the epidemiological concerns that we have with regards to the spread of the virus. But I will say, at least for the time being, there is a real fear that the county and the state let open up too quickly, instead of doing the dimmer switch that the governor kept talking about, that at least in some cases, some folks flipped on the lights altogether. I know a lot of the spread happened as a result of family and home gatherings, but there's no question that bars were a part of that story too. And so any attempt on the part of the brew pubs and the breweries to disassociate themselves or get a different set of rules associated with their properties rather than the bars is going to have to involve a plan of action that will clearly address the spread that was occurring in the bars and show that whatever plan they have will avoid the problems that we've seen in the bars. So with that, I am absolutely happy to talk shop with the person who asked this question and see if there's something we can't do to be helpful. I do think, of course, it also underscores, I mean, for all those businesses that truly cannot reopen because of the orders, because of the epidemiological concerns, it really does underscore the need for us to continue to support PPP loans, the kinds of business loans and business supports that will make a difference in allowing them to stay afloat while we try to get through this. And that's one of the major reasons why I'm so hopeful that the Congress will pass something at least substantially similar to what the House passed in the Federal Heroes Act. That would certainly help go a long way toward keeping businesses that truly cannot reopen, not through any fault of their own, but just because their business model does not meld well with the epidemiological orders. So it's our hope that we can get the Heroes Act passed out of the Congress and get that support out to businesses ASAP. And with that, the next question is for Commissioner Latta. And it's a question about workers' comp. So why are business owners who are covered under workers' comp having to pay insurance when at times they can't even draw a paycheck? Also, is there a new rule regarding workers' comp for employees that are working from home?
Got it. Great. Another great question. In response to the first part of this question, I included workers' compensation insurance, as I mentioned earlier, in my premium relief order for exactly that reason. Many businesses have seen their payrolls fall and workers sent home or laid off. So you should see your workers' compensation insurance costs decrease as well. And you should contact your insurance company if they have not already provided you a reduction. And again, you could contact my office if you haven't, and we'll make sure we work with your insurance company to figure out what's going on. But they should be giving you some sort of refund or credit on a future payment. As to the second part of the question, there have been changes to workers' compensation regulations. Under the previous workers' comp regulations, employers that provided workers with the opportunity to transition from regular work duties to lighter, say more home-based clerical work, were still paying the rates based upon a higher job classification. That to me was unfair, I should say. And so I did issue issued emergency workers' comp regulations to make sure that those changes reflect the lower risk of worker injuries in light of the pandemic. These new regulations will mandate insurance companies to recompute the premium charges for policyholders to truly reflect the reduced risk of loss consistent with my earlier bulletin, and will result in savings for many policyholders, as businesses. I also, if you don't mind, I want to give a quick second to Alex Stone from my legal branch, who's been working with a lot of these issues surrounding workers' comp, to give you a little further details of our new regulations, because it's important for our businesses to understand what these new regulations mean in terms of savings and the future of what workers' comp is going to look like in California. Alec, are you on?
I am. Thanks, Commissioner. So under these new workers' comp emergency regulations, employers are permitted to reclassify an employee if that employee's duties have changed to a more clerical type classification and reflecting that employee's lower risk of injury when compared to that employee's previous classification. This reclassification will reduce the employer's premiums for employees who are now at a lower risk because they're now working from home, even if they may not have previously done so. Also, the change would be retroactive to March 19th. That's the first day of the governor's emergency statewide stay-at-home orders, and conclude 60 days after that order is lifted, although I don't foresee it being lifted anytime on the near-term horizon. Also, the emergency regulations will lower premiums for some employers by excluding from the premium calculations the payments made to an employee, including sick or family leave, while that employee is not performing duties of any kind for the employer. That change should lower the employer's rate by reducing the amount of payroll that's assessed, and the employer will not now pay premium for those workers that are they're paid and on the payroll but are otherwise being furloughed. And also, I feel like saying, but wait, there's more. The new regulation, the Workers' Comp Emergency Regulation, also excludes claims related to a COVID-19 diagnosis from being included in the future rate calculations so that employers are not penalized with higher rates due to COVID-19 claims. And lastly, the commissioner has also adopted rules that will allow us to continue to monitor the overall effect of this pandemic on the workers' compensation market so that we can, you know, make changes as necessary. Thank you.
All right, well, that's super helpful. Thank you for the additional clarification. Okay, I think this next question is best directed towards Xiomara. The questioner asks, I'm struggling to find grant opportunities. By the time I hear about them, they're gone. Where do I go? How do people be proactive in learning about the grant opportunities that are out there?
Wonderful. So grants are being established by county departments, city departments, nonprofit institutions, a cross partnership between a couple of different groups. I've heard from some business owners they have spent about 10 to 15 hours searching for grants that they may be able to apply for. We have on our Venturize platform housed a series of different grants, and we are updating that daily to reflect the different grants that are still open. Additionally, I do want to just mention two that we know are open right now. So one is a TMC Community Capital Grant, which is available for the LA, San Francisco, Oakland businesses. And the eligibility requirements are really relaxed. This also is a grant that can cover property loss as well. And so that application opened up yesterday. It will close on the 14th of August. So if you haven't had a chance to apply, you will visit tmccommunitycapital.org/grants. Also, the Los Angeles Regional COVID-19 Recovery Fund is looking to deploy $3 million in grants available at $5,000 and $15,000 to micro entrepreneurs, small businesses, and nonprofits. There will be a total of 6 rounds. The first round has closed, but the second round is set to open Monday, this upcoming Monday, July 20th, and will close that Friday. So that's a cross collaborative between the city, the county, LISP, Los Angeles, various different banking institutions, and we highly encourage business owners to apply for that. I also just want to point to the fact that I mentioned the Small Business Development Center Network earlier. As a business owner experiencing this unprecedented time, you know, we always recommend don't try to do this alone. It's already very isolating to be a business owner, and rather these moments also place us in a unique position. And so with that being said, lean on the Small Business Development Center. Sign up to one of the newsletters of your local Small Business Development Center who will be able to advocate on your behalf, connect you to these grant opportunities as they arrive. And that's the most important piece that you can make sure you have access to, is just the connection piece. And it really is challenging to sign up to a ton of newsletters. And so if you have one point of access, that may be the best recommendation in terms of getting timely updates on the grants that are available. And it just highlights another, and just really quickly, it just does highlight the importance of the next stimulus package, as mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Grants are one of those things that are absolutely needed for small businesses.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. All right. Next question for Commissioner Letta. My business is not considered essential, but I am continuing to employ workers and pay my workers' compensation insurance. Can workers' comp insurance companies exclude COVID-19 from their coverage, whether or not they are considered essential businesses?
No, workers' compensation insurance cannot exclude COVID from their coverage. All workers affected by COVID-19 on the job are eligible for workers' compensation benefits, whether or not they are considered essential services. This includes workers engaged as, you know, we've heard many frontline occupations such as healthcare, emergency services, food production, sales, delivery, among others. Workers' compensation also in California apply to undocumented workers. As you remember, Senator Allen, I did a bill to make sure that the measure was expanded to protect undocumented workers in the event that they are injured on the job. Even if their employer doesn't even carry workers' compensation insurance as required by law. At the onset of the stay-at-home orders, we did issue a notice to insurance companies to remind them of all the protections that workers have in California. You know, we continue to monitor workers' compensation insurance and encourage any business owners who have questions or concerns to call us, again, at 1-800-927-4357. Our experts will definitely help you and assist you in workers' compensation, any question you might have. Thanks.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you for that. All right. Xiomara, is there any hope of support for those businesses that started during the time of the pandemic?
So if a business started earlier this year, they still will qualify for the federal loan program. There are some grants that they may not qualify for. Some of those grants do have requirements that you have been in business for at least a year. But in terms of the federal loan programs, the requirement that you've been in business for at least more than 1 year has been waived. And so those would be great products for folks that started their business, are looking for resources. Additionally, recognizing the economic crisis that we're likely to experience as a result of the coronavirus, we recognize we're in a budget deficit situation right now here in California. With that being said, small business owners that started their businesses will stand to benefit from the backed capital through the state loan guarantee program. So again, a local CDFI that is participating in the state in that state program is PACE LA, Pacific Community Ventures, and a few others. So I will make sure that link is also sent and included.
Excellent. Thank you. Okay. This question is for me, it looks like. Okay, what is the Senator's office prepared to do to help protect our businesses? With these waves of closures and added costs to safely reopen, combined with drastically reduced revenues, the inability to provide jobs or bring back employees as a result, permanent closure and loss of our small businesses will inevitably hurt the local and state economy. Okay, can't agree more with the sentiment behind the statement. Let me talk just a little bit about what I've been working on, at least thus far, and these are all things that I hope to build upon. First of all, in the legislature, we've been working to try to put in place state programs. And of course, unlike the federal government, we cannot print money. We can't go into debt. Or at least we can't run a deficit. If we do go into debt, we have to pay down all those debts and retain a balanced sheet. So, but that being said, we really have been trying to put in place some meaningful state programs that don't break the bank for the state, but that ultimately make a big difference for small businesses. So let's start. I mean, first of all, there's the California Disaster Relief Loan Guarantee Program. That's $50 million in microloan guarantees for small businesses that may not be eligible for or perhaps struggle to secure the federal relief under the PPP or other mechanisms. California also authorized small businesses to defer payments of sales and use taxes for up to $50,000 for as long as 12 months. That was an important thing to give people a little bit more of a runway. On the tax side, we also provided a 90-day extension of tax returns and payments for all businesses owing less than $1 million and extended the deadline to file a claim for tax refunds by 60 days. We suspended requirements under the WARN Act, understanding, of course, that some businesses may need to shutter too quickly to provide workers with the usual 60-day layoff notice. We placed a moratorium on commercial evictions and foreclosures, and we also negotiated a big deal with the vast majority of banks and lenders to allow for a 90-day postponement of mortgage payments for small business renters. We just passed a budget that waived the $800 franchise tax for the first year of operation for new businesses impacted by the shutdown. I know that's not everything, but that's still at least another way to help. The measure also increases the iBank funding that was mentioned by Xiomara, that's, I think, up to like $150, $170 million now to provide more capital to small employers. And so that's available, and Xiomara can help get people connected to that iBank funding. I'm also, one of the things that I've mentioned, and Xiomara has already mentioned several times, is the importance of passing additional funding under the HEROES Act. And I've been in close contact with the members of Congress who represent areas of my district and the Senate offices as well. And I just can't emphasize enough how important it is for us to get a meaningful measure through the Congress to help provide support for small businesses, even something that is significantly smaller than what the House passed under the HEROES Act would still go a long way in making sure that we get, a business community through this unprecedented time. The HEROES Act, as written and as passed by the House, includes an additional $10 billion to fund economic injury disaster grants. It reforms federal small business lending programs, waiving fees, extending the pool of money available, increasing loan guarantees to incentivize banks to make more loans available to small businesses. And it also acknowledges the reality that many stay-at-home orders have required small businesses to close. And so in so doing, it extends the Paycheck Protection Program for borrowers until the end of the calendar year. And that would certainly help, let's say that brewery or brew pub that asked the previous question that I answered is simply unable to reopen because of the stay-at-home orders. If the HEROES Act passes the Senate, at the very least, we'll make sure the PPP extends through the end of the year. The other thing is that in order to reach small businesses and underserved communities, the HEROES Act sets aside funds for community lenders with an additional carve-out for small businesses with 10 or fewer employees. Of course, at the state level, I'm certainly doing everything in my power to advocate on behalf of our local business community with Governor Newsom and LA County. That includes asking a lot of tough questions of the administration on this legislative coordinating group that I'm a member of, where we're given an opportunity to give feedback to and provide some oversight and ask a lot of questions of our partners in the administration. But I've also, you know, been trying to host workshops like this one, for example, to help provide as many immediately available resources to folks as possible. And I certainly, if there are other topics, we can do a Zoom town hall. You know, if there are other topics that would help the business community for discussion, I'd be most happy to do an event with a, you know, a local business owner, a chamber leader, et cetera. I've done several so far with several of our chambers of commerce to amplify your voices. And I guess my final kind of point on this is just don't let up. Keep talking about the challenges you have. Talk to your elected officials. Talk to your to partners in government at every level, because in the end of the day, you have to make sure that your story is told and make sure that that story is being told in the press as well. So I always want to do more. Our offices, our virtual doors are always open. We answer every single phone call. So you know, as you're calling the insurance department, don't hesitate to call my office as well for assistance in any way that we can be helpful. And you know, our office number is 310-318-6994, 310-318-6994. Okay. Next question is for Xiomara, and it's sort of along the lines of what we've heard before, but maybe you can give some additional clarity on this. Many businesses are being crushed and may never reopen. What kind of assistance is there for folks whose financial life is on the line? I think you've largely answered this, but if you have any, if you can maybe answer that and maybe give some closing thoughts, because we do have to wind down, I think that would be helpful.
Sure. So I've covered, you know, the federal, state, and some of the local resources that are available for small businesses. You know, really this is, as I mentioned, a unique moment in history, and we know that small business owners, the nation's largest job creators, are going to be feeling the brunt of this event. And so with that being said, recognizing the moment that we're in, just want to remind folks, the Small Business Development Center networks are wonderful resources for technical assistance. They have supported some of those business owners that we've worked with to help them look at their financials and take this time to really reassess the business altogether, the business structure, the business development practices. And so for business owners, you know, you may be in an industry that may just be completely devastated and impacted. And so shifting and pivoting and just building business resiliency may be the way to go, or you may not have the option or the ability to make that shift as quickly as you might want. And so all to mention, there are a significant amount of resources. Small business owners, being the fabric of our society, are deeply cared about and supported, and we're seeing that that through the actions of our elected officials that are looking at supporting our community. And again, we'd just like to remind folks, you can visit our www.venturize.org website for many of the resources that I talked about in terms of financial resources for your business.
Thank you. Thank you, Xiomara. Thank you for your participation. We really do appreciate it, and we appreciate your advocacy on behalf of small businesses. Let me give our commissioner the opportunity to give us some parting thoughts. Anything you'd like to leave us with today?
Thank you, Senator. Yes, I know we got to wrap up. I just want to thank you for, again, your staff and your leadership and the great work that you're doing for us in Sacramento. I really appreciate you, you know, collaborating with me personally, but also with our office to continue to protect our consumers. Again, I will tell and ask our business owners, look, I understand your job is to keep those doors open. You're getting a lot of mixed messages. We want to make sure that at least on the liability end and on the coverage end, that you exactly understand what your coverage is, what you're liable for, and how do we help you through this pandemic. If you have absolutely any questions or any concerns, feel free to give us a call at 1-800-927-4357. Or if you want to, you know, go on our website and submit a question that way to our consumer hotline, you can do that as well. It's very easy to do it electronically, and you could do that at insurance.ca.gov. Again, thank you all, and you know, we'll get through this together, and we're here to help you. Please do not be afraid to give us a call, and we'll help navigate this storm with you.
Thank you so much, Commissioner. Thank you so much, Xiomara. thank you to the staff, Alina, and the folks from the Commissioner's Office who helped to pull this together. We really do appreciate everyone for joining us here today. Be in touch with us. We're here to help you. And very, very good afternoon to everyone.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes the teleconference for today. Thank you for using AT&T conferencing service. You may now disconnect.